Good evening, this is Tom Denny, and this is Esoteric Origins that you are listening to, which is a audio podcast meant to coincide with my newest blog entry entitled Collaboration with David Wilcock. So, as you're looking at the images, you can listen to this audio and get some more in-depth aspects to the imagery and what I was intending when I created it. So when you first look at the podcast, you see the two images of David Wilcock's New York Times best-selling books, The Source Field Investigations, and The Synchronicity Key. Now, I know these books actually came out a while ago. However, I've never actually released any of the images from that book until now. The Source Field Investigations, I posted all of those images a while ago, but I didn't really go into depth about their meaning as much as I am in this new blog and how those images now kind of sync up with current events, which is funny because the book is called The Synchronicity Key. Now, for those of you who don't know what synchronicity is, it's this uncanny coincidences that are very, very difficult to explain, usually compiling many, many instances that are just outside of the realms of explanation. Now, what David is doing is he's sort of bridging the gap between science and spirituality in a wonderful way that is very evocative of what the esoteric mysteries actually are, which is, in his words and in mine, unseen forces that tend to guide humanity or each of us in our everyday lives. Now, this can be like synchronicities, like seeing the same word or title of a book over and over again, or a particular sequence of numbers. In David's research, he goes over a lot of what this means and why you might be experiencing it. So I've been working with David Wilcock for a number of years now, and you may know him from the television show Ancient Aliens. And he's been getting out there and doing a lot of good research and seeing a lot of interesting things, and I've been a fan and a friend for a long time now, so I've witnessed the evolution of his story since about 2008. So in this last book, when he approached me again to do artwork, I was really excited and happy to be involved, although at the time I wasn't really sure exactly why I was working on the images that I was working on. So I had the instructions. Now you'll see this first image here is a recreation that I did of a famous and perpetual Freemasonic image. Now you could see similar images to this one throughout history, and what you're looking at here, three pillars and a ladder that seems to lead into a star, and the sun and the moon. Now, David needed some original art, black and white, to go into his book to illustrate the concepts. Now, I highly recommend reading The Synchronicity Key or looking into David Wilcock, what he says about it himself. So I am acting completely independently, and this comes from my own understandings. And as I created the image, I was well aware that the three pillars are evocative of the duality, the light and the dark, the white, the black, the checkered tiles. But between those two extremes of light and dark, Jachin and Boaz, there is a middle ground, a sort of perfect balance at the fulcrum. And this is a place of silence and meditation. And the ladder into heaven is always symbolic of the mind's journey into itself. So under the practice of meditation and the art of esoteric vision, you tend to go within yourself and ascend some visionary transcendence. Now, this is an interesting place because inside of your mind, there is an infinite universe of imaginative vision. And as an artist, when you look inward to reflect or even think or wonder, like what kind of color should it be? What sort of layout should I use? What could it be? As you're constructing those images in your mind, you have to wonder where is that chalkboard of the brain that seems to be able to be drawn on, erased and drawn on again, but not on any paper or physical matter. It's simply going on behind your eyes. And this place we take for granted often. This is the realm of vision where artists and mystics spend most of their time. Now, what's fascinating to me is that point where you encounter people who don't have this ability or who don't practice this vision. Now, everyone has the ability. It's a misnomer to say, oh, I can't do those kind of things. I'm not an artist. I'm not a visionary. However, nothing is further from the truth because it's just a matter of flexing that inner mind membrane. Just like muscles, if you work them out, you're going to get bigger and stronger and faster and better at what you do. The mind is a type of muscle as well that the Freemasons and ancient esoteric lodges throughout history have always tried to teach the average man that these are the paths towards reconnecting with spirit. And spirit is imagination. Spirit is vision. So am I calling the images that you conjure in your mind, the eye behind the eyes, are those things spiritual? Well, they're not matter. So it's up to the artist to bridge that gap between the inner eye and the outer eyes and somehow manifest these pan-dimensional series of symbols. Now, speaking of series of symbols, there are all sorts of things going on here. We see the fulcrum, the ladder, the bell. These are all Masonic images encoding geometric principles, which in ancient times were used as metaphors for understanding how the creation and unfoldment of the universe became. In modern times, I think we have a stronger grasp on sacred geometry, sound, the aspects of straight lines, angles, and curves, and how flowers and planets and universes unfold, all following these similar and related principles. So I'm not going to dwell too much more on this particular image, except for that to me it represents that finding of balance between all the chaos of the light and the dark, and finding that silence, and in your mind climbing that ladder towards the star that is your origin. And it's a sacred place, and it's not of this room, it's of somewhere else, and that is for you to investigate. You have a personal relationship with that other side that's waiting for you to explore it. Continuing on, here, there is, as I posted in the blog, there's another geometric aspect. Now, David goes into deep review of what the meaning of the discovery of this particular geometric cube was in science. It's totally fascinating. I highly recommend reading into it. I'm not going to step on anyone's toes or cover that information here, but other than just to say that geometry plays a fundamental role in how reality and existence comes to be. So just gazing upon any sort of perfect geometrical principle will allot you great insight to yourself and to your relationship to the world around you. And I highly recommend exploring that. Now, for those of you who don't know or are not familiar with David outside of some of his more popular shows like Ancient Aliens, he has a pretty rich history that's very interesting and unspoken about. In particular, that he is he considers himself to be a reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And what that means is that Edgar Cayce was sort of a mystic from the early 1900s who gave us a lot of information about Atlantis. He would go into trances and talk about ancient Egypt and ancient Israel and all the histories of the world, and said oodles and oodles of fascinating things that are all totally documented and worth looking into. Now, it is a massive statement to claim that you are the reincarnation of a person like this. You might as well say you're the reincarnation of Rasputin or Napoleon. However, Cayce is a little bit more obscure, and David's facial similarities are uncanny. Now, a lot of people make fun of that and dismiss him because of this, but I think it's significant. And one of those elements of significance is that Cayce himself claimed to be the reincarnation of Ra-Ta, which was basically the first head priest of Egypt and a surviving Atlantean. Now, I highly recommend looking into The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life by Drunvalu Melchizedek to get more information about these things that I am speaking, including sacred geometry and the ancient ways of Atlanteans and how that evolved into Egypt. Of course, there's no evidence for any of this. We're talking about pure speculation. And for the purposes of suspension of disbelief, we're going to say in this time that it's all a matter of art. Now, imagine for a minute if David Wilcock is the reincarnation of an ancient Atlantean high priest. And for whatever reason, as a young man, he was compelled to leave a young man's life of partying and drug use, and instead focused on research and explanations of ancient mysteries. Now, that's a fascinating character. I guess, you know, you could make an argument that it's all just a kind of snake oil showmanship kind of trick. However, there are a lot of things that David's research has turned especially my mind onto, and one of the biggest things is dream journaling and the magical images that come out of documenting your dreams are so profound. If that was David's one contribution alone, it would be more than enough. However, there's more. But the story doesn't end there. He did a series of interviews with this character named Benjamin Fulford, who I find completely fascinating, because I think Benjamin Fulford is an example of someone who's completely out of his mind. If you watch Fulford's videos, there's images of him randomly, like, walking up to buildings and claiming that certain high-ranking Yakuza lived there, and he starts to yell at the house in what he says is Japanese. I have no way of confirming, but he claims that he's calling out all these high-ranking esoteric leaders who no one knows about and run the world secretly through ancient bloodlines. And fear and military tactics and monetary tactics. So to go back and research Fulford will be enough of an effort on its own. But the fact that David and Benjamin were doing these series of interviews together, where David was seeming to legitimize some of Fulford's claims, the main one being that of the Army of 1,000 Ninjas. Now, just that name alone sounds totally ridiculous. An army of 1,000 ninjas were supposedly going to come out of the woodwork and take out high-level bankers and generals and leaders and all the creepy people who are supposedly the 1% who are secretly ruling the world and keeping the rest of us in poverty. However, that was years ago now. The army of 1,000 ninjas and mass arrests never came to be, and David nor Benjamin never followed up on why this was until recently. Till just the other day, in fact, he went on online and made this podcast where he explained a lot of those things that weren't followed up with the Fulford interviews, that being mainly that apparently he leaked too much information, and all the leaders of the resistance got killed. Similar to how, you know, many Bothan spies died to bring the rebels the plans of the Death Star and Return of the Jedi. It's compelling. It's a fascinating story. To hear David tell it is even more compelling. So I highly recommend clicking on that podcast and giving it a listen. For another big reason, because for the first time, Wilcock talks about David Icke. And in the blog I wrote, you could see the picture of myself with David Icke and tattoo artist Sean McCobb. That was when we went and saw him at the Conscious Life Expo. I think David is an amazing man. And Wilcock calls Icke a hero and praises him for the research he's done and gives legitimacy to the synchronicities of David Icke's own personal unfoldment, which is really impressive. If you don't know his personal story, he basically rose out of the slums and made himself a celebrity, and then used that celebrity to start talking about shape-shifting reptilians. Now, a lot of people get stuck there, and that's unfortunate because there's a lot more to reality that science doesn't have any answers for. Just the way matter works with electrons and neutrons and the infinite amount of space that exists between the atomic molecules, and the way they'd explain that things kind of blip in and out of reality and we lose track of electrons and we're not really sure where they go, and then they just show up all of a sudden out of nowhere. There's a lot of mysteries still yet to be unveiled. But for years, David Wilcock refused to mention reptilians, and he said none of his contacts had ever mentioned anything about reptilians. Except for in this new podcast, David seems to describe several types of reptilian aliens that do exist. He denies still that they shapeshift, which doesn't matter. Who cares if they shapeshift? The fact that they exist is terrifying enough. So this whole idea of humans that turn into reptilians is kind of entered into the mainstream in a big way. And one of these, well, in the blog here, I show first the images of the Captain America movie, the newest one, The Winter Soldier, where the two main characters go into an old bunker, and there's all this ancient computer technology, and they encounter an AI. So apparently this German scientist had figured out a way to transfer his brain into computers in the 1970s. Now, this is something Michael Jackson was talking about. He said that he knew people who were going to put his brain into computers. And that was in the late 90s. So, you know, some very interesting theories are going on here. And but the most important thing that this movie kind of just blatantly throws out there is the idea of Project Paperclip, which they name by name, which is actually the real life project that brought top-level Nazi scientists over into America to work for the American government after World War II. This is fact. You can look it up. You can just type in Project Paperclip and see all the people who are involved. But in the movie, they claim that this character, this nerdy, glasses-looking fellow, was one of those people. And he said, like a parasite, Hydra grew within S.H.I.E.L.D. So Hydra is apparently code for the Nazis. I only guess that because, you know, they look like Nazis and they look like they're supposed to be from Germany, and they keep saying Hail Hydra, and that's obviously, you know, Nazi slang. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is supposed to be the NSA or CIA, and they go over the whole history of S.H.I.E.L.D. as if it's the CIA history. So, you know, they just shift a couple things around. And that would be very fascinating that they're putting this in the public eye, especially right when the CIA put out all this information where they seem to be admitting that UFOs were their responsibility. So there's a bunch of articles now, and there was a national inquiry, including Richard Dolan and many of the other top UFO researchers confronting members of the CIA about this new information. And if you have time, the link is right there under the image of these little flying saucers going over the White House. And I highly recommend looking into this because I have been a researcher of UFOs and strange phenomena basically my entire life. And one of the first things I can remember doing when I was very young, before the internet existed, was going to the library to look up information about aliens and UFOs. And there was not much information back then, but you know, I still got my hands on whatever I could. I just consumed all of it. And any chance I had an opportunity to do an article or a class paper or project about any topic, I would always choose UFOs. So, you know, for my whole life, the CIA has been denying that UFOs exist at all. And now for me, it's a massive shock to see this article that they're claiming that all of it was them. So for you might not see much significance in it, but for me, it's kind of like Christmas. And that's very interesting because the Germans were working on UFOs in the 40s. So perhaps the synchronicity here is that, you know, the truth is being revealed in really weird ways. Or maybe it's not the truth. Maybe it's a total fabrication. And I have to ask, why is this information being shown to us at this time in media, in movies, and in online news records? So, of course, in the movie The Winter Soldier, we see the AI talking about Germany and the CIA being in cahoots. And as you scroll down the order, there's an image, an illustration from the book The Synchronicity Key, which shows that's an ancient Roman emperor right next to an illustration of Adolf Hitler. Now, I should have probably, in order, put it after this next image, which is the supposed emblem for S.H.I.E.L.D., which is looks almost identical to the CIA. So just further illustrating their, you know, the illusion that they're making. So in this image, let's look at this image. In David's book, he goes over a bunch of different cases of reincarnation, potential reincarnation, and they're all fascinating. He's got one for Richard Nixon. He's got he's got a bunch of different ones that all of them. I'm trying to avoid saying the name because I can't remember. Who's the guy, the scientist who, tell me about your mother. Who's that guy? So anyway, there's a big part about him. And, but one of my favorites is this thing that claims that Adolf Hitler was the reincarnation of a conquering Roman politician from 2,000 years ago, reliving his vision for the Third Reich. Now, if you don't know the Romans, they were considered the First and the Second Reich. And then 2,000 years later, the Germans picked up that flag and called themselves the Third. So there's a lot of legitimate evidence. And I don't know if my illustration shows the facial similarities well enough. It's definitely hard to go by old sculptures and old pictures and say that these are facial similarities, but the similarities in their life are hard to ignore. Again, the details of that are in the book, but just the thought that one conscious mind can come back and continue a mission that it had begun 2,000 years ago to either spread spiritual messages or conquer by the sword. That's a fascinating side note. And it gives me a little bit of hope because just the suggestion that death is an illusion gets me very excited. I think that the idea of one time around is completely depressing, that you just get one shot and that's it, and then it's back into the darkness for eternity. For whatever reason, I'd like to think that our influence goes a little bit deeper. So there's a huge connection between the CIA and the Third Reich. And another interesting fact I don't hear anyone else talking about was in The Winter Soldier, when they talk about these AI death machines that are supposed to dwell in the sky, and they show these giant spaceships that they're building that have lasers locked onto every human being and a kind of computer system with one single eye, very similar to the HAL robot, decides who lives and dies based upon algorithms where they're judging your movements and predetermining your thought. And at this very moment where they show this image with all the guns, the character says New World Order, which was the famous line of George Bush Sr. So why, you know, George Bush made that New World Order speech in 1991, and here's a movie in 2014 still talking about it. So what is this term New World Order, and what is this connection with the CIA and the Third Reich and the Bush family? Now, there was a magazine I was involved with last year called Secret Knowledge, Occult Magazine, where I wrote an in-depth article as well as doing this next illustration, which you could find. It was put out by Stephen Brower last year, full of amazing illustrations and great stories. And it really brings into question what's really going on, because in that magazine, Secret Knowledge, there are a lot of factual documents that Stephen took a long time to compile. And I was there with him as he was driven by some sort of motivation to do all this research and put this book together. And when I looked at it, I thought, well, you know, there's one thing you're missing, and that's the whole Bush family. And so I wrote an article about how you see the totem here of the three generations, our most recent George Bush being at the bottom, looking very menacing, and his father above him, that's George Sr., the New World Order guy. But above them is George Prescott, who was a banker in the 1940s, who was actually Hitler's personal banker, the liaison from the German war machine to American banks. And what I didn't know, and I found out recently, was that the great-grandfather was also selling weapons to both sides during World War I. So we have a long history of the Bush family being involved in the greasy side of basically every modern war we've known in the last century, which is very scary because their involvement with what were supposed to be considered the bad guys is not only nefarious, but shattering, if you're one to believe the television, which says that, you know, George Bush and the CIA are American heroes, when in fact they are absorbing, working with, working through, working for what is thought to be the enemies. However, you know, that's going to be some element of inner conjecture that you're going to have to come to through your own meditations and research. I can't tell you anything, although this image I've presented here shows you my perspective. Now, if you look at the top of this Bush totem, there's some sort of bull creature and a crazy pentagram and a number of other sigils. Now, we don't have time to explain what all of these sigils mean. I think if you look at them, you could look inward and kind of understand what's going on. But my intent was to say that this is the creature which has a hold on this Bush family, or perhaps that they're worshiping or they're interacting with. And I don't want to say its name, but it definitely it has its winged tentacles reaching through many generations of time. Now, I wonder if these are even separate people. Part of my artwork was to suggest that it's all part of the same entity, that it's just one hen with many faces, and who knows how far back through time this entity has been intermingling with humanity in whatever kind of ways. I dare not even think. This is just the surface. This is only the tip of the iceberg being revealed. Now, again, we're talking about new movies and information being released. There's this thing called Iron Sky coming out, and if you watch the trailer, it's uncanny that this is... Okay, so being a fan of UFO research, Robert Anton Wilson, and all types of esoteric information since the time of being a kid, I get really excited when I see a modern movie like Iron Sky come even in trailer form, because the whole idea of Hollow Earth has been one that I get very excited about. It's very near and dear to me. When I first heard it, Robert Anton Wilson talking about it in The Cosmic Trigger, I thought that's preposterous, but it makes total sense for some reason. And the Hollow Earth theory is the one that kind of says that the Earth is more like a balloon, you know, that we live on the outside of the balloon, but there's still surface area on the inside of the balloon, and you can kind of crawl into the opening and get on the inside. And the way gravity works is gravity is a mass that pulls from both sides. So it doesn't matter if you're on the outside or the inside, gravity is going to pull you towards the ground, and or what seems to be the ground, which is that eggshell layer, which kind of, well, the physics of it you could research on your own, but the aspect that I am most fascinated with is that they finally depicted it in a movie. And this movie trailer, I don't know anything about the movie itself yet, but in the trailer we see this Sarah Palin character who obviously looks, she looks exactly like Sarah Palin, and she's in the White House and apparently has been made president, and they're dropping nukes everywhere and the world is apparently being destroyed and they're evacuating her to some secret base in the Antarctic, in which her hand morphs into a reptilian hand and she's able to open a secret door. And the first thing we see is this, well, it looks obviously just like Hitler riding a giant dinosaur. And if you look in this image too, the sky seems to be what I actually had always envisioned the inner Earth to look like from the stories of Admiral Byrd or other people. You see, it looks like a distant map. So instead of the sky, you're actually looking up at other land, because it would be sort of a convex, you're inside of the balloon. So when you look up, you don't see space, you see the other side of the inside of the balloon, connected by an inner sun. And they actually show that too. They show a main pyramid beaming up to what should be the central core, this inner light of the planet. And you can see the continents and the oceans and the clouds. It looks so surreal. It looks exactly how I'd always imagined. And that's fascinating. That for one, Hollywood is even taking those ideas and making it so tangible. And for two, that it's all coming out now at the same time. And just another side note, what looks like a clone of Albert Einstein in some steampunk-looking glasses doing some sort of experiment. And then here's the Sarah Palin character looking at the pyramid. Now look at this beautiful image. It's exactly how, well, maybe not exactly, but very similar to the image that's painted in my mind when I hear Edgar Cayce talk about Atlantis or Drunvalo Melchizedek talk about the ancient temples existing on multiple dimensions. It's just a very beautiful, compelling image. So, who knows? Maybe there is a real swastika-shaped base on the dark side of the moon. This is another image from, it's actually not in the trailer, but when you look up the movie on the internet, you see this thing with the domed, crescent dome observatory in the middle of what seems to be a swastika. Now, in that podcast, that new podcast that I mentioned that David Wilcock did, he talks about this. Richard Hoagland talks about this. Monuments of Mars, they all say that the dark side of the moon is covered with bases and alien life. And there's been many researchers who've said this. And, you know, how are we to say otherwise? The moon never shows us its black side. There's many mysteries. Why have we never been shown it? There's no satellite footage of it. It's a great mystery. What's exactly out there? But, you know, when you think about who got to the moon first, Americans, supposedly, using German rocket technology. Now, that's a fact. Wernher von Braun was 100%... Third Reich rocket engineer building bombs for the Nazis. Missiles, huge missiles, the greatest the world's ever known. And he continued that technology in America and helped them build rockets that took us into outer space. So how is it such a hard stretch to believe that if the Nazis were working on anti-gravity and UFOs and rockets that would go to the moon and then came over to America started working with the CIA and the Bush family, and all of a sudden the CIA is saying, yes, all those UFOs you saw in the 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, those were us. And, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, Wernher von Braun, yeah, we got to the moon because of German engineering. Don't worry about it. They were good guys. They were good guys. Which is not true at all. It's so scary that Wernher von Braun was doing Disney shows when he himself was, like, personally responsible for not just a few deaths, not just a few. So, I just find that the whole topic very compelling because not everybody knows it. When you talk about Wernher von Braun and JPL and Aleister Crowley, people say, what are you talking about? You could point to the Wikipedia page, but the real truth, well, it resonates within you. So another spooky new movie coming out is this Jupiter Rising. Now, if you watch the trailer, I took all these clips from the trailer. The most exciting one was what you see here. See this blue thing? Apparently, there's a reptilian and some sort of draconian humanoid-looking people who are able to look through the dimensions. It seems that that's what they're, you know, they're decoding some sort of matrix, three-dimensional looking glass device and looking from their world into another world. And what you only see for a brief second is in the right-hand corner, there's these little gray aliens, these elongated heads and backwards legs. I think that's fascinating. And so they're showing this giant reptilian. Here I've got this below that on the blog. There's this famous image of these shadow people coming down a hallway. And that brief image in the Jupiter Rising trailer of them looking through the dimensions reminded me of this shadow people image. Now, before I go back into Jupiter Rising, I guess I just want to take a little side note into what this thing is, this hallway full of shadowy, lurking, creepy monsters. Now, this was drawn by someone who supposedly sees these things in states of dreaming. Now, dreaming is that place that we dwell in between times of awakening, between life, between death, somewhere between light and dark exists this hallway filled with these menacing, shadowy beings, these translucent, moving, ominous creatures. Personally, I've had lots of experiences with these things. I don't know how much we should go into those because it's a whole nother topic. But for the sake of staying on this topic, I just thought that perhaps the two images correlated to each other, because if they were looking at us in that manner, maybe we could see back at them and they would look like those shadowy, half-existent beings there. Just a theory. But if you know anything about shadow beings and their presence in the dream time and the ominous impact that they have, it's a compelling scenario, argument, thought process. There's ways to protect yourself, and it all comes from finding your inner light. Maybe we'll talk about that at another time. So again, scrolling down, here's this giant reptilian creature, which it looks very similar to what abductees and contactees have described for decades as I've been researching this field myself. And especially, you know, the people who David Icke talks about. and interviews, they describe creatures like this with the wings and the whole history of humans worshipping dragons and worshipping serpents, serpent cults, and the very notion of demons that kind of pop in and out of reality. If that creature in this movie doesn't look like a demon, I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know what else to tell you. Although I could go into depth about other reptilian creatures who have been depicted in movies like Insidious, and even that Darth Maul character in that horrible, horrible Star Wars movie. However, I must digress. Again, I just point out the illusions of multiple reptilian creatures making their presence. And I don't know if this is just the rise in popularity of David Icke or his persistence in spreading this message until it's become a meme, which either way is impressive. And how now most every researcher has to acquiesce and say, yes, there are reptilian aliens too, and they look like that. Because for a long time, there were some researchers who denied it, but now it seems to be the mainstream. Everybody says, yep, there's grays, there's Nordics, and there's reptilians. And that you didn't really hear until recently. Everyone would deny, well, there's grays and there's Nordics, but reptilians, no one's ever seen, and or vice versa. Either way, now it does seem to be a constant contingency. It's a contingency plan. Everyone knows to jump on board with the reptilians. So here we go. Jupiter rising. They show a little crop circle. I don't know what they say about crop circles, but it's just a funny thing that it's being connected with this whole idea of a monarchy race on Earth. Okay, so if you scroll down this, if you watch the crop circle video I did a few years ago, you'll get a little bit more insight onto the significance of David Wilcock and the crop circle enigma. But I'll let you click on that and research for it yourself. Below that is the image that I did for The Synchronicity Key, which is David Wilcock's new book. It is a serpent eating its own tail, which is a very, very ancient symbol. And it's used to represent the infinite aspects of our universe. Now, modern science has also come to understand that our universe is a type of torus, which is similar to a donut, which is an object which has only surface, that if you traveled across the surface of a donut, you would never run into an edge. You would just constantly be traveling around and around in an infinite manner. You could research toroidal spheres. But the ancients seemed to understand this in the form of a snake eating its tail. So around and around again, there's no beginning and there is no end. There is only the now. And in the center of that is a star tetrahedron, the as above, so below, the light and the dark again. Now, David has his own descriptions and understandings of these different symbols: the eagle, the angel, the bull, the sun, the moon, the serpent with the arrow. These are things that trigger aspects of the subconscious, the mind that knows. The DNA has encoded histories. And if you resonate with this image, it means your own spirit, your DNA, has a deep history with these symbolic images and their meanings. Now, if you look at this and you just pass right over it, then it's like seeing an image of someone else's family vacation. And if you never went on that vacation and you didn't even know that family, you would not understand any of it. It would evoke no emotional response. However, for me, I'm overwhelmed with emotional responses when I look at images like this. When I get the opportunity to create images like this, I feel a profound exuberation from head to toe. So, again, in referencing reincarnation, this movie, Jupiter Rising, in the very preview, it says, when the exact same genes appear in the exact same order, that is what you call reincarnation. This is what one of the characters say as they show this very Andrew Jones-looking porcelain rendition of... who is that? Mia Kuntz is the main character. So they apparently bring her to a temple where there's a stone statue of her former self. And they show her and explain the process of DNA reincarnation, which to me is massively significant because I had a vision like that of my own where I was brought to a temple and shown an array of statues, and it was explained to me that they were all my former selves, of whom I was a reincarnation of, and it went back thousands and thousands of lifetimes. There was an extensive collection of this history, and so I was compelled when I saw that scene for that movie. Because that means that my mind is on the same wavelength as others who are talking about this concept. And the concept of reincarnation itself has been kind of taboo in the mainstream for many centuries, mostly because Catholicism has been the dominating religion on Earth, as well as Judaism, which both deny reincarnation. Unless if you're an Essene who hold that reincarnation is the way of things. But other than that, the old ways of the Egyptian religion, and those Gnostic thoughts of the soul traveling through many lifetimes, through many bodies, was forgotten and buried. But now it seems to be coming back into the mainstream. Back into our entertainment, back into our dialogue as people. And I think it's more than synchronistic that all of these things are coming to light. The power of the DNA, the most ancient aspects of our history. Just as Terrence McKenna said, it would all start to come to light. Our culture is turning into steam as our images and ideas are now all shooting onto this interweb thing that's going up to the cloud. What is the cloud? Cloud is a mist. There's a mist of images, of data, of ones and zeros now. That is our collective experience. People shoot videos and it turns, goes into the cloud immediately. It shows the world everything from the love and compassion of a rescuer to police brutality in New York City. So Terrence McKenna's predictions, by all accounts, seem to be manifesting quite according to schedule. And that is why 2015 is such a pivotal year, because this is when all the prophecies tend to culminate to one massive revelation. And I think it all ties together. It's all part of the same thing. It's all part of the awakening, a mass awakening of consciousness in people. And I think as an artist, I'm allotted a very sacred place in which I am employed to use my vision into imaginative realms, which is where these truths, esoteric secrets, exist. It's my daily function to go into these realms and pull out images and bring back ideas. And part of that duty is to share those images and ideas, no matter how ludicrous, how absurd they may seem to the everyday person who is just trying to put food on their plate and pay those bills. There's still mystery, deep, uncovered secrets, vast aspects to every person you know that goes well beyond the surface. There is a deep, deep root that goes farther than you may be willing or capable of uncovering just yet. So at the end of this blog, there is a final image. It's just a new sketch. The DNA, the dragon, the UFOs. It all does seem to correlate at this time. So, in this era of 2015, hopefully the new awakening is one of compassion and of peace and of great artistic development and poetic expenditure. Hopefully, in peace and unity, we can explore inner space as well as outer space. But first, inner. Seek truth, seek light. Find yourself.